Good morning, and welcome to Lopes on Movies. My name is Joey Lopes, and today I am joined by Connor.
Good morning.
Well, Connor, today's kind of a fun day because we get to do something of a special episode. You know, we probably do this once a year, which is, of course, talk about the Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
They just came out today as we're recording this. So we figured we would, take this episode just to kind of go over some of the stuff that was nominated, some of the stuff that maybe wasn't nominated, and, you know, kind of give our overall thoughts on the Oscars. Because, it's fun. Why not? You know, life's too short to be cynical about the Oscars, which been in the past.
Well, we have. If you go back through the record of this show, which I'm pretty sure it goes back pretty far. How far back do we go now at this point? 2017? Is that it?
When did we start doing this show?
Yeah.
I want to say 2019 is when we started Lopes on Movies for WVUD.
Okay, so then...
We've been talking about movies since 2017, though.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so we've been going back a bunch of years. This is a very good movie year, which we're saying. Yeah. 2023 was very good. So
it's probably the best since 2019.
I think that's pretty much it. I'm pretty satisfied with a lot of the movies that are nominated and the crop of talent on here. So
yeah. I mean, my overall impressions of these nominations, I wasn't surprised by too much. There's maybe a couple of things that were a little bit surprising, but not like. As far as like surprises go, these ones are pretty mild, I would say. And I don't know about you, but I didn't see too much stuff that struck me as like a really, really egregious snub or anything, you know?
No, not really. There was a couple of would have been nice ones,
yeah.
But which we'll get. I think we can probably get into as we go through some of these. And why don't we do it?
Sure, why not? Let's just get right into it. So we'll start with some of we'll work our way up to the super main categories, but we'll start with one that is, of course, close to our hearts, which is the original score category. So what are the nominations for original score?
Okay, so He's Never Gonna Stop, as a lot of these composers do. It's John Williams for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Did you know that John Williams did the score? Did you hear about that?
I know that I knew they did the score, obviously, but I didn't see that movie. I don't really have any interest in a, you know,
the only thing I know about
Indiana
that,
Jones sequel.
The only thing I know about that one is that I'm pretty sure the Red Letter Media guys, where if you haven't heard of them, I highly recommend them. They're the best YouTube channel. And they have been for like a decade now. They review movies and stuff. I'm pretty sure they kind of felt like this score was generated by like AI, what's John Williams-esque kind of thing. And then,
well, I think that the kind of sad thing about the sort of modern blockbuster machine is that its use of music is very, very different from how music was used in like the golden era of John Williams scores, where the music was like really, really prominent with these really strong, memorable melodies and these like really, really lush, beautiful scores where they really score the action to the music. And I think actually in that Red Letter Media review, they do a good job of comparing like some scenes in the new movie to Temple of Doom, and just how like the music is scored so perfectly to the action in Temple of Doom and feels like a really integral part of it. Whereas in the modern, you know, Dial of Destiny, it's basically just wallpaper.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how they use music in blockbuster movies now. That's not really as prominent as it used to be. So to me, this John Williams nomination is just they see the name John Williams, they have to nominate him. Like, how do you, like,
right? Of
know,
course, it's like he's 90 something. It's pretty amazing that he's still working like this at this level.
It is. But I wish that they, could give him a platform to do like real John Williams stuff and not just kind of using him as your, typical modern composer who's not asked to do all that much.
Yeah, Okay, so you're right. So we already talked that long about one nominee for one category. Okay, so
it's just there's a lot to say.
Okay, so Killers of the Flower Moon, Robbie Robertson, who passed away actually fairly recently.
Yeah, that's a nice nod.
Yeah, and I think it's a great score too, especially the I don't know, I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
Ludwig Göransson, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
I think that's right.
But he's kind of been working in collaboration with Christopher Nolan this is for Oppenheimer, of course, for his past two films. He also did Tenet. Great score. I think that the tension that's built into Oppenheimer is awesome, with just like really because of the music and the score. Like it's great.
I think some people can get critical of Christopher Nolan's scores just because they're very, very overbearing. But I don't think that personally, that doesn't bother me too much. And I think that the scenes in Oppenheimer that like really depend on the score are really standout scenes. Like the whole, can you like, you know, see them, whatever it is, can you see the music or something?
Yeah.
That whole montage sequence early on, is really, really strong. And they did some screening somewhere with a live orchestra of Oppenheimer, and like the way that I know that that's a real good score is that when I saw that that was happening, I was like, oh man, I would love to see that.
Yes,
I bet that would be so awesome.
That'd be so cool.
But yeah, I think he's the front runner at this point. I mean, he won the Golden Globe, and I think that like that score has just made an impact on people.
Yeah. This year. Okay, so let's keep moving on. Jerskin Fendrix for Poor Things. That's the Yorgos Lanthimos movie starring Emma Stone.
Haven't seen
that one yet. I cannot comment on this, but I was saving this one for last. It's the score for American Fiction by Laura Cartman. This is terrific. I think this is my favorite one.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Like it's, and I think you're going to like it too. It's jazz, really. Like it's, that kind of works perfectly blended in with the plot of American Fiction, which I think we should dedicate a whole show to. So you got to go see it.
Yeah, I intend to see that this week.
It's tremendous. That movie's great. And the full jazz score.
Cool.
The main character is kind of a play on a famous jazz musician too, which I think you'll like. There's a lot to unpack with this one. And great movie, great score.
Okay.
I think, but there's some good scores here. Okay, all right. Wanna move on to
Yeah, how about we go to to original screenplay.
Original screenplay. Let's get down to original. Okay, I got it
up here. Yeah, I'll
okay.
Okay.
The Holdover is written by David Hemmingson. It's a great written piece. It's awesome. Maestro, which I haven't seen yet. Written by Bradley Cooper gets a writing credit on this one too. Bradley Cooper and Josh Singer.
This was a passion project.
That's impressive. May December, written by a bunch of people. Sammy Birch, story by Sammy Birch and Alex Mechanic. Oh, never mind. So
yeah, it's mostly Sammy
I just
Birch's,
saw like a long thing,
screenplay.
And I thought that it was like a bunch of names.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like,
it's got, it also. It has the story credit in there, but that's the only nod I think May December got, which is kind of a shame. I watched it recently, and that movie has some real tour de force performances in it. Like it's probably the best Natalie Portman performance I've seen.
That's pretty high.
Julianne Moore,
that's pretty high
and,
praise.
Especially this Charles Melton guy are fantastic in that movie. But the caveat to that is that the movie is highly critical, or at least. I don't know if poking fun is the right word, but it's very much a cynical look at actors and Hollywood and actors in Hollywood. So I could understand maybe why they balked at that one. But I highly recommend May December. It's a very, very interesting movie.
I'll put that on the list. There's still more to see. I've seen so many movies in 2023, and there's still this carryover. Past Lives, written by Celine Song. She also directed the film Past Lives. We did a show on that one. Great movie. It also got nominated for other things, or It's great. And then Anatomy of a Fall, screenplay written by Justine Triet and Arthur Harari. They're actually a couple. They wrote it together. They wrote it together in lockdown during the pandemic. They had some funny stories about the creation of it, being in the same house for a story like that and being a couple.
Story.
I'm obsessed with Anatomy of the Fall, and I think I'm going to see it again. So I'm a big fan. I really am happy with the love that Anatomy of a Fall got from the Oscars, which I kind of figured it would, but it's good to see.
Yeah, I don't have a prediction on this one. I really don't know where
this
one could go.
I usually like to see around where everything else is, because sometimes maybe one you give to something else if another movie is going to win other awards or something. So I'm not sure. This is a pretty stacked category, it seems like. This year, whole year is hard.
All right. How about we, it is hard. Let's go on to adapted screenplay while we're talking about screenplay. So I'll quickly read off these ones and we can see what we, if we have any comments on any of this. So first is American Fiction. I'm written for the screen by Cord Jefferson. Then first nomination for Barbie that we're seeing, which is written by Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach, of course. We got Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan. Poor Things by Tony McNamara and The Zone of Interest by Jonathan Glazer. The Zone of Interest is one of those ones that I still haven't gotten around to seeing and know very, very little about. But I know that fans of Jonathan Glazer have been very happy to see that this has gotten a decent amount of attention at the nominations here. I don't know. What do you think about this one? I think that some people had some thoughts on Barbie having this nomination for Greta Gerwig, but she's not nominated for director. So it's interesting that, and actually, we'll talk about this a little bit later too, but the only acting nomination that Barbie got was
which is great. Ken finally gets his due.
Well, I think the irony, of course, being Barbie's what Barbie is about, and Ken being the only
nomination. I gotta tell you, I saw Barbie, and my favorite part of it was definitely the Ryan Gosling Ken parts.
I think everybody agrees that that's a great performance. Like I haven't seen it, but I mean everybody I've talked to that has seen it has said that Ryan Gosling is having the time of his life.
I love this adapted screenplay category because it's like. Adapted like all these other things are adapted from like books or other things.
Barbie's adapted from a toy.
It's like okay, well they adapted it, but American Fiction again is so good. It makes you think on so many levels. I can't wait to talk about just talk about that one, and I think that one really hits deep.
I'm excited to see it.
Also the Zone of Interest. That's supposed to be very heavy, very, very strong. I'm going to see that one this weekend, actually. And then Oppenheimer's great, too, especially taking that kind of story and adding, like, the dramatic tension and then also having, like, in Christopher Nolan fashion, the multiple different, like, plots that are going on. Like, you have... There's the whole sections with we'll get to him later with Robert Downey Jr. and like his whole arc. Like you have multiple arcs for different like characters in a movie just for Oppenheimer. So,
no, I would definitely just based on what I've seen, I would say Oppenheimer's screenplay is a really interesting structural thing. Like the way that story is structured, I think is very, very cool. And I think that would at least a large part of that comes from the screenplay, I'm sure. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. There's a lot of good things here. So, all right, let's start getting into the actors and actresses. So we got actress in a supporting role, Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, America Ferrera for Barbie, Jodie Foster for Naiad, and Davine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. So that Jodie Foster nomination is like one of the couple of Every year, there's at least one movie that nobody on earth has ever heard of that sneaks in with a nomination in a major category. So this Naiad movie is this year's example of that. So I don't know. I mean, she's just Jodie Foster, so it's got to be at least something of an interesting performance. Yeah. She's a real actress.
I had no idea.
What is Nyad?
I had no idea. I've never heard of that in my life. I do know Jodie Foster's in the new season of True Detective that has a lot of hype.
That's true. You know, that's true.
But everyone loves Jodie Foster. She's great. It's good to see her back. I'm a little intrigued by the Emily Blunt love. I mean, I get her character was stern and everything, but
she really exactly. has like one standout scene, which I think is kind of true of America yes. Ferrera too, from what I understand. Right. Like she has that monologue at some point in the movie. But like, other than that, at least in the taste of Oppenheimer, I like her performance. But I mean, to me, this is like Davine Joy yeah, Randolph's to lose. Like, I don't think anybody can compete, such a really.
Awesome performance. And just tremendous. I think she's a star. Okay. Want to keep going?
Absolutely. Yeah, let's go to actor in a supporting role. So I can read these ones off. So Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction. I've heard he's great.
He's tremendous in everything he does, but he's like American Fiction is so good. Like, and he's tremendous. Yes.
I love that we're hyping this up so much. I can't wait to talk about it later. All right, we'll keep going. So Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon. That is a terrifying performance. Probably one of the best that Robert De Niro's given in years, at least since The Irishman. He always comes to bat for Marty.
For the July movie with Maniscalco. That's his best performance since then.
Yeah. The Sebastian Maniscalco movie.
About My Father.
About My Father? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just missed that one. So Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, of course. Everybody's talking about Robert Downey Jr. in this movie. Ryan Gosling for Barbie, which we mentioned, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. Poor Things is one of those ones that I really got to get around to seeing just because it's gotten a lot of attention, especially in like these categories, because we'll see in the next category that Emma Stone is nominated as well. I really, really, really didn't like the only Yorgos Lanthimos movie I've seen, which is The Lobster. So I don't have high hopes that I'm going to like Poor Things, but I don't know. I feel like I got to get around to seeing it, but I don't know. At least for me, like from what I've seen in this category, which is only two of them, I'm probably leaning more Robert De Niro, but I don't expect him to win anything for that performance, even though it is a really, really compelling, scary performance. I think Robert Downey Jr. probably has the, I don't know. He's got the juice into this.
All these performances are the ones I saw, and I saw all of them except Mark Ruffalo and Poor Things, which I'll get to, are great. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of strange. Mm-hmm. Like, usually in other years, I have, like, very clear, like, this one, or like, even there's hype on a lot. Like, this year, I can't figure that as much. Like, I know that Robert Downey Jr. has gotten a lot of hype early on for all the year, really, but...
I think it's really hard to say in a lot of these categories what's going to happen. I mean, there's a couple of front runners, I think, but anything is possible at this point based on what I've been seeing. All right, we'll go to actress in a leading role now. So another nod for Nyad with Annette Bening, which of course another iconic actress. But like, what is this movie? That's Jodie Foster and Annette Bening, and why has nobody on earth ever heard about it except for the people voting for Oscars? And of course, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone in Poor Things. So I think Lily Gladstone might be the front runner for this. I mean, she won the Golden Globe, but everybody's kind of been talking about her as almost like a lock. I don't know that it really is. I think anything could happen here. I mean, Carey Mulligan might even sneak in there from the older Oscar voters and the big Maestro heads.
I'll just say that Sandra Hüller had a crazy year of being, you know, the lead in Anatomy of a Fall. She was very close to, like, by certain metrics, getting into also actress in a supporting role for her performance in Zone of Interest. So she had a big year, and I could totally see her winning as a, you know, for just performance based. But yeah, I think it's going to go to Lily Gladstone. Which is also another great performance.
Which would be great. Yeah, it's a great performance. All right, how about actor in a leading role? So, of course, we got Bradley Cooper for Maestro. That was expected. Coleman Domingo for Rustin. Don't know what that is. Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Killian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. So, you know, Connor, I got to be honest with you. I've seen Maestro, okay? I've watched it, and I think Bradley Cooper's performance is pretty good.
Oscar like, winner good?
This to me is, okay. is Killian right. Murphy. Okay. This is his year. You know, he deserves to win. But I think that Bradley Cooper does a admirable job portraying that role and has some very, very funny and good line deliveries in the movie that have stuck with me. I think it's a good performance. And if he did win for making this movie that he might have made on some level to win an Oscar, I would not feel that upset because I do think that he did a very good job. And frankly, I think that Carey Mulligan did too. They're the best things about that movie. Like their rapport and just kind of their banter is very kind of strange, but good. The characters I think are well drawn. And it annoys some people, I think, because it's like very showy acting. But I don't know. I think it was, it worked for me. There's other things about the movie that I didn't like that much, but I think their performances are really strong. So if Bradley Cooper did win, which I don't think is likely, because I think this is Killian Murphy's to lose.
What about Paul Giamatti?
But Paul Giamatti, I think, like, I mean, it's an obviously great performance in that movie. I'd be surprised. Well, I don't see it happening. Same with Jeffrey Wright, which Jeffrey is a great Wright nomination great. To see.
I feel like I've been, Fiction, but, yeah. I've watched Jeffrey Wright's rise to the stardom that he's in. Like, I think the first thing that I saw him in that where he really got attention on was Boardwalk Empire, playing this very interesting character, like this gangster who was running like a whole other operation. I haven't watched in a while, but he was great in that show. And then to see him like rise to like to this point, it's I don't know. I feel like I was there at the beginning, you know? Yeah.
Right.
But again, yeah, mm-hmm. Another one for that for American Fiction. Can we go to, best actor. How about the animated feature film?
Oh, animated feature. Yeah, we can talk a little bit about that. Of course, I've only seen one of these, I'm sure. But it's the one that should win. I mean, the only animated feature film I've seen this year, I think, is The Boy and the Heron, which I loved. But yeah, obviously, there's a couple other nominations. Elemental, which was the Pixar movie that I don't think very many people liked that much, but it's the obligatory Pixar nomination. Don't know what Nimona is, don't know what Robot Dreams is, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Of course, sneaking in there with his one nomination. Spider-Verse fans are very upset that it wasn't nominated for Best Picture. But,
sorry.
You know, what can you do?
I mean, The Boy and the Heron is awesome. I've seen it twice. I saw it once in Japanese with subtitles, and then I saw the dub. Both are great. It's tremendous. I hope that wins. But,
I hope so, too. I really hope so, too. How about Best Director? Let's get to the real meat here. So Best Director, we got Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. So yeah, Zone of Interest making it in there for Best Director, which is interesting. I'm very curious about that movie. I mean, like the big snub here, quote unquote, is a lot of people wishing Greta Gerwig got in. But I was really surprised. I mean, not surprised, but the Golden Globes, I didn't think really showed all that much love to Barbie, except for in like that fraudulent like money category.
Box office winner category,
But like it got quite a lot of nominations here at the Oscars. And some nominations that weren't really expected, like a lot of people were not expecting America Ferrera to get in and supporting actors. So it's definitely well represented, but it's interesting that that Greta Gerwig didn't make it in. But again, it's a stacked year. It's tough. And I haven't seen all of these, but certainly all of the movies I've seen here, I definitely think those filmmakers.
Yeah, I don't know how you like decide. Like this. I don't they kind of make
direct. Yeah, it's
like,
so hard.
Best director, kind of like a runner up category. Sometimes, unless it's like a sure thing, like Best Picture winner. Like, you know, like, but I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
I think it feels that way a little bit. My feeling on this one is that this is where Christopher Nolan gets an Oscar for.
I think so. Directing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Feels like it's like his time, you know. Yeah.
But Justin Triet, like, she did Anatomy of Fall is so good, like, and it tremendous.
And of course, like Martin Scorsese is Martin Scorsese, but because he's, you know, he's been around forever and everybody already loves him, I feel like, you know, he'll be ignored,
right,
in winning for something like this, even though he made a really, really compelling movie. All right, let's just quickly get into Best Picture then. And, you know, we'll make a decision. So we got American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and Zone of Interest. So I think the real kind of surprising, I mean, not surprising, but interesting one to get in there is probably Past Lives, which didn't get too many other nominations, but it's cool to see the recognition for that movie at the
I said that like kind of early on, like when we saw it early in the year, I said it was my favorite movie there then, you know, just because I could relate to the husband character in that a little bit, like the story itself
it's a good movie,
so good, so I was happy to see that in here.
It's had such a strange, like, and nobody, no normal person should care about this, but it's had such a strange discourse cycle on Twitter with like, at first everybody was really liked it. And then, you know, it all comes in waves. People get upset about people liking it. And it's like, this actually is not good. No, it actually is pretty good. And then all the normal people out there that mean, like, I don't know, I liked it. It was good. But, you know, not being a crazy fan or a crazy hater, just kind of like, being a guy who watched a movie.
Yeah, Twitter's a rough
place. That's really the best
it's...
way to be. I don't know. I just feel like it's a weird movie to think straight up sucks. Yeah, you know, like there's been I've seen like a lot of reactions that I feel like are very reactionary against the people that liked it. But then again, like I'm one of those people who absolutely hated Everything Everywhere All at Once. So like I probably seem that way to the people that liked that movie. I probably just seem like a hater. So it's tough, you know. It's tough out there when you don't like something. I am sympathetic to the people that didn't like it, but I don't know. I feel like Past Lives is just so I don't see anything about it that's like going to how does that movie rub you the wrong way? How is it possible?
I don't know. I don't know. Joey, where are you leaning on this one? You already kind of hinted at Maestro being a one that you liked. But
I mean, I like Maestro.
Not best picture contender.
I don't know. I feel like
I'll tell you what I'm leaning.
Think it's best picture contender.
I really think that Oppenheimer is the one that has the most chance. But I have an upset pick, which could be American Fiction.
Okay, I like the upset pick. And yeah, I don't know if I'm. I like a lot of these movies a lot. I mean, Killers of the Flower Moon is probably my favorite movie of the year, or at least the movie that has made the most impact on me this year. But at the same time, I kind of think that Oppenheimer is the movie of the year.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Like, I just have a hard time thinking of any other movie that is as monumental as that one was for just movies and movie culture and just how powerful of a movie it is in its own right. Like the ending of that movie, I think is just so strong and so memorable and so awesome that it's so great that a movie of that length and of that caliber and of that subject matter would become such a box office success. Like it's a beautiful thing. It really is. So I don't know. It's the movie of the year to me. I feel like it's the movie that has to win Best Picture this year, or at least the movie that, like, if it won Best Picture, I would feel like that was a accurate summation of what that movie meant for, like, cinema this year.
I completely agree on all that front.
But lots of good movies here. Lots of good movies here. I think this is a great list of nominations if you're interested in just kind of, like, perusing and checking things out that came out this year that you didn't get around to seeing. The main one that I would say that didn't get a whole lot of nominations, but is good and worth watching is May December, But other than that, I mean, just kind of like scroll down the list, you're going to find a lot of good stuff here. So yeah, we'll talk about this when the Oscars actually happen, a couple of weeks from now, whenever it is. So yeah, we'll see you next week.